going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Three, two, one, hit it.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning. Happy Friday. We did it. We all made it to the weekend. The sun is starting to come out. It's been a little cloudy this morning, but it's going to be gorgeous, and it is a great day because I have John Hancock and Michael Kelly in Studio B.
Here we are.
With me, Michael Kelly will be sitting in all morning for Chris Ronji. We don't know where he is, but Michael Kelly has come in clutch
I'm
yet again.
I'm glad to be here again. You look a little bleary-eyed, Amy.
Well, it was a late night.
Mm-hmm.
It was a late night, but it was a fun night at the St. Louis Blues game where the Blues soundly defeated the Winnipeg Jets. So we're going to break it all down. We're going to talk about it with Hancock and Kelly. If you are listening on 1120 AM, you'll want to hop on over to 104.1 FM. A beautiful sound. It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful sound. You can listen to us all over the metropolitan area on 104.1 FM. The Odyssey app, you can take us wherever you go, whether you are going on a run or maybe you're walking the dog, you're on a boat. John, you could listen to us on a boat.
On a boat.
You could. You can listen to us out of the country on the Odyssey app. You can also follow us on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX. Don't forget to download and subscribe to the podcast in case you missed anything.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Well, as Michael Kelly pointed out, a little bleary-eyed this morning. It was a late puck drop, but it was worth it. The Blues defeat the Winnipeg Jets 7-2 in Game 3 last night. They will head into Sunday's Game 4, trailing the Jets 2-1 in the series.
And President Trump's first 100 days is approaching. Annie Fry from 97.1 will join us in the studio. We'll talk about what he's accomplished in those 100 days.
And the Cardinals host the Milwaukee Brewers this weekend. That series starts tonight at 7:15 p.m. We've got the pregame show with Matt Pauly at 6:20. And Friday night, Live by Lowe's picks up yet again with Cardinals alum Mark Sweeney joining the crew over at Live by Lowe's at the Bullock there by Ballpark Village.
Gotta love it.
You gotta love it. All right, guys.
Yes.
Good Blues win last night?
It was.
How was it? I didn't get to go to the game and feel the energy. It must have been electric for you.
It was insane. It was really, really good energy. The building was just, it felt 10 times louder than usual. And, I mean, I'm not in the building every day like I was years ago, but it brought back all those feelings of 2019 playoff hockey.
Yes.
The crowd was going crazy, and the Blues came out absolutely flying.
Yeah, 13 in a row they've won at Enterprise Center. Mm. And, man, they just looked great last night. And I don't know that Winnipeg was flat. I just think the Blues brought that much more to the table.
Yeah, I think it was both. I think the Blues were bringing so much to the table right out of the gate. I think it caught Winnipeg off guard. They did look flat-footed. I don't play video games, but my brother would play, like when he was younger, the NHL video game. I don't know, NHL 15, NHL 16, whatever it is. And since I don't play video games, he would make a character for me. We'd start playing, and it was like the one time I played, and I couldn't figure out how to get my guy to skate. So both feet were on the ice, and he would just glide back and forth. And he would be behind every play. So the puck would go here, and then my guy would glide in. That's what the Winnipeg Jets looked like. They looked like they were just gliding a little bit behind the play. The Blues' offensive zone pressure, I think it was sustained nonstop for at least 5 minutes to open the game.
So the one thing the Blues hadn't done in this series that they had been doing since the Four Nations tournament is involving the defensemen in the offensive zone. They really got away from that in the first two games of this series. And last night, you get the goal by Fowler. But the defensemen were in that game and in that zone, and it made a real difference.
I'm more of the passive fan. Obviously, we're in the playoffs. I'm intense, and I'm in it. So I watched the games the last night till I fell asleep in the third quarter or the third period.
I did too.
I felt like, yeah, in that first period, the thing that I liked about that team, we were crashing the nets.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to move the puck around. Like, it's frustrating sometimes when they just don't get shots on goal. I felt like that first period, they were crashing that net.
Oh, they had a ton of pressure down low. And to John's point about the defense getting involved and creating those offensive chances of breaking out of the zone, not just tossing it to center ice. So Cam Fowler set a franchise record for points in a game by a defenseman.
Five points.
He had 5 points last night. Yep.
A goal and four assists.
That's right. Only one other defenseman has had more points in a playoff game, and that was Paul Coffey.
Wow.
With the Edmonton Oilers back in 1985.
Wow.
He had 6 points. But Cam Fowler tied with 5 with names like, well, Paul Coffey again, Al MacInnis, Cale Makar from 2022, Dennis Potvin, among others, Risto Salatin. So it's pretty impressive that he was able to put that performance up.
Who was that Risto guy?
Yeah, we're not going to go over that, are we, Hancock? We've got to talk about that.
Old
like
Risto.
She sounded like you talking Greek.
Yeah.
You talk about Greek
old
food
Risto,
over there.
Man. You forget about
you
Risto.
You remember Yari Curry.
He had a great Risto shot, that guy. It was incredible.
Risto shot. Well, what about Buchnevich?
Buchnevich.
And the hat trick.
The hat trick, yes.
How about all those hats on the ice? Well, first of all, do you wear your hat? Did you take a hat with you to the game and throw it on the
ice?
Well,
no, I'm in the media. I'm in the press box, Michael. I'm in a suit.
What?
Yeah. You got to wear a suit in the press.
Well, I noticed you have a strong voice this morning. How did you not lose your voice from screaming?
I think the security guard is allowed to shoot you if you cheer in the press box.
You cannot cheer in the press box.
No. You can't wear jerseys.
Huh.
You can't wear any type of, like, Blues hats. You can't cheer. You can't yell.
That's un-American.
Oh, wow. It's not. It's so weird.
Don't you hate that?
No.
Don't you want to be in the energy?
I don't. I have no inclination to cheer when I'm in the press box. Like you feel like you're working. It's weirder for me to cheer. I will say, even if I go and sit in regular seats now, I don't cheer.
What?
I know.
Well, but like this is like the whole experience of life.
No.
This is the idea that we've had since the time of gladiators, that people come and get enjoyment and they get excited and they yell and they scream. You go to a hockey game as a fan, paid your $100 to be there, or somebody else did.
Right.
And you're there and you don't cheer?
No, I can't. I think, honest to goodness, it's when I'm thinking, I look serious. And I'm like, I get really lost in my head. And when I'm watching the Blues game, I watch
it.
She gets
lost in her head,
I'm
Kelly.
I'm thinking the whole time. You're thinking like an analyst, or you're breaking down plays. I don't know. I cheer at the Cardinals games because I don't know enough about baseball.
Really?
I do. I cheer at the Cardinals game. Like, I can cheer at the Cardinals games.
Well, not so much these days.
Well, but at Blues games, I feel like it's all business, but it's so much fun. I love it. I love taking notes.
What?
You sit in the
press. She takes notes.
I have look at my notes from the game, John. Handwritten notes.
Wow.
Oh man.
What do they say?
You bring a notebook to the game?
Absolutely.
What do you write down?
Well, let's see.
Oh, there. That guy's.
Yeah. Okay. So what I did write down. I'm going to look through all my notes because I didn't go through them. Do you? Well, I brought up the Jets being flat-footed. Shifley and Connor, Kyle Connor, Mark Shifley, who had the Blues number in the first couple of games.
Yes.
They were, when they were on the ice, 5-on-5, they were outscoring the Blues 4-0.
Right.
Not great. They were completely shut down in last night's game. They couldn't get anything going.
A lot of that, I think, is because when you're at home, you get the last line change.
You do get the last line change.
And I think Montgomery, you know, the Shifley line, which had done a lot of damage in those first two games, I think Monty really countered that line effectively last night. And that was one of the big stories of the game.
Yeah, no, it was so impressive.
Let's check the notes.
Yeah, let's check the notes.
Also, a notebook to the game.
Did you notice the offensive zone pressure? How they were cycling down low. They couldn't get. They couldn't have any sustained pressure down low in the previous games. It was like watching a different team. The goal, the non-goal, I should say, when Binnington made that incredible save on Perfetti. That was a goal.
Was it?
It was a goal.
It crossed the line.
And from all the angles I saw. I think the only reason why it wasn't called a goal is they determined that it wasn't decisive enough to overturn the call on the ice.
Right,
if the call on the ice had been goal, it would have counted.
Yep. All right, give us a little insight, those of us who will never go to a press box.
Okay.
What happens in that instance when it's being litigated, whether or not it's a goal, it's being discussed on TV? Do the journalists amongst themselves talk, or is talking not allowed?
No, there's a lot of talking because you're also watching the reviews. There's a bunch of televisions in the press box, and I was sitting next to Matt Pajeski, our producer, Ethan.
Peach was in the press box?
He was in the press box.
Unbelievable.
They let me in.
It's not a small box. It's like the whole upper level.
It's a row.
It's a row.
Wow. Really.
Yeah.
What kind of food do they have up there?
Peanuts.
That's it?
Well, they had salt and smoke.
Okay.
Oh.
I
think you have to buy that.
Yeah. Now,
but anyway,
can you have a beer in the press box, or is that...
No, that's frowned
upon. It's in the same vein as cheering and jersey wearing.
Yeah. You're all business.
You can't have a beer in the press box.
I am more business in the press box than I am here by far.
It's like
far.
Having a beer here.
She took of course, you take a notebook to a hockey game. Amy, talk about ruining an unbelievable experience. I mean, you turned it into an AP history class.
Well, she's good.
I love AP history.
Exactly.
I love taking notes. I mean, look at you. You've got the lines,
pages.
You've got
of
the
notes.
Power plays.
That's when this is about halfway through the game. She's writing all this stuff down. You usually are in a fight with one of the neighbors because you've been doing play by play for that long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody's spilling, nacho stuff
game.
On us. She's taking notes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel
all
like the life has been sucked out of you, Amy.
Love it, though.
Okay.
I live
good for
this.
You. All right.
I love taking... I would be in the press box.
You going Sunday?
I'm going Sunday.
She's going Sunday.
Are you in the press box?
Yes.
Will you be in a suit?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Like,
can I get the press box?
Well, if you get a press pass, you can.
How do I go about doing that?
I mean, I know a guy.
A very small... And diminishing part of the voice of St. Louis. but I still think I might qualify for a press pass.
Yeah, the old John Hancock hockey coverage.
That's it.
Yes, it is a suit.
Would you be able to contain yourself up there?
Oh, buddy, yeah.
You'd be
nothing but contained.
You can't do play-by-play.
No.
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 Like, what happened?
So contained.
Yeah, they score something, and everybody cheers. You'd have to sit there and look at it and be like, look at these heathens.
Another goal.
Yelling.
Another goal.
Yeah.
There's a goal.
I think Chris Kerber would love to sit by you at a game and listen to you do play-by-play right next to him.
Oh, Kerbs and I go way back.
Do you really?
He grew up in my neighborhood.
This
did
I did
beat
not
him up,
know.
Or did he beat you up?
No. He grew up in before I moved in.
Okay,
but he's the first house on the right when you come up the hill there.
No
yeah?
kidding.
Yeah.
Well, I did. I had to peek my head in and say hi to Curbs and bring back memories of 2019. Oh, yeah. Herbs is great.
He's the best.
He's such a nice man.
He's a lot of
great
fun.
Great guy.
And he cares about St. Louis, too.
Yeah.
You know, and involved in youth sport
yep.
and all of that stuff.
There yep. you go.
Can't get enough of him.
Love him.
All right, guys. Well, the
Don't
fun part's over.
Don't cheer.
Well, guys, let's talk a little local news
all
here
right.
in the
let's
city
do
of
it.
St. Louis. Let's start with the sinkholes that we've seen because they opened up over last weekend, several sinkholes on Park near Lafayette Square. And there is the big Go St. Louis Marathon tomorrow, which they did have to reroute around the Park Avenue sinkhole because the last thing you want is...
so technically, they're not sinkholes.
They're cave-ins.
Yes.
Yes, they're cave-ins.
Because your sinkhole out there is, that's...
natural?
Yes. And you got, so what's happening is you got the liquid, you know, the water.
The infrastructure?
There. And the water erodes the dirt that is buttressing the pavement that upon which the road is constructed. And so when you have a cave-in, it's that erosion of the dirt bed that causes the street to... crumble.
Well, thank you for that insight.
20 feet down.
Well, helpful. Well, thank you. Well, okay. So here with all the people downtown now who can know more now about the cave-ins in case they get sucked under.
Yeah.
Again, with the marathon, it is a big deal. They're going to be rerouted. The marathon course will be a tenth of a mile longer now because they had to add a block.
That'd be 26.3.
And it'll probably be a little longer than that because they always overmeasure. You got to overmeasure to make sure it's not a short course in order for it to be certified.
Huh. No, it my needs guess to be is, precise.
No, my guess is it's going to be 26.46. I'm going to have someone.
I would file a complaint. That's not a marathon.
No, that's normal.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine
the Blues game tomorrow night? Not
Could
a 15
you imagine
minute period.
Let's running see. 26.2 miles and then dying 100 yards later? I mean, it would be horrible.
Yeah.
You get to the end of the marathon, and then you die.
You know, that does happen.
I know it does.
People do die at the marathon. Is that what's kept you away from running? Well,
that's why, you know.
That was the first marathon, Fidipides, or whatever his name is, he died.
I had my heart checked the other day.
And it's well?
Yes.
Good.
Amazingly well.
Okay. So.
Healthy as a horse, are you?
Yeah.
Yes.
100-year-old horse.
Well, you were a little horse.
I am a little horse, yes.
These cave-ins.
Yes. Oh, yes.
John and Michael. Now, remember, $40 million of the Rams settlement money was going to go to fix the water infrastructure. But then, of course, there was all the drama at the Board of Aldermen, and Megan Green put an end to moving forward with those bills. Alderwoman Ann Schweitzer said, well, why don't we just scrap everything else but at least address the water infrastructure? The Board of Aldermen said no. President of the Board of Aldermen, Megan Green, said no. So now here we are with all of the sinkholes. Charlie Brennan asked last night on Donnybrook, which I joined them on Donnybrook. He said, do St. Louis leaders owe the people of St. Louis an apology? Because we've known the water's been bad for a long time.
The water's been bad?
Sorry, the water infrastructure.
In the sewers.
Oh,
in
yeah.
the sewers.
But, I mean, and listen, the amount of money that we were talking about putting in under Ann Schweitzer's compromise was good, and it was an investment. But it was a drop
Not
in
enough.
The bucket.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, they've got like $1.5 billion worth of water needs. That's the reality of where we're at. We've got an old, aging city that was built for its prime, you know, back in the 1900s when there was a fair here. We should talk about it sometime. And, we had all this infrastructure stuff. Now the city's, you know, deteriorating from people, et cetera, and there's been no investment. I think this is not a unique problem, and I think it will continue to be a recurring chorus in St. Louis, is we're going to have to fix a lot of stuff. And that's what's unfortunate about the delay, particularly during the COVID time when we had all of that money that we could have accessed to be investing at that, you know, in these very needs.
And these are one-time expenditures, which is what you use one-time money for. You don't use it to obligate yourself to future spending. Mm-hmm. And, they should be addressing these infrastructure needs.
Do you think if we could see underneath the streets of St. Louis, we would be horrified?
I bet that's with every city, but yeah. I know from the water infrastructure that's been the case. And listen, it's not just the neglect of an administration or two. This is something that we've looked the other
decades.
Way for decades
yep.
on. I mean, we still have sewers in St. Louis that are wood in some places. Think about that. Wow. We have pipelines that are still, you know, 100 years old, built at a time when St. Louis was big and had a water infrastructure, but we're not doing anything like we did it 100 years ago.
So was it not addressed earlier? If we've known this is going on, was it not addressed earlier because it's not sexy? There's no appetite for it?
No, because it costs money.
And there's, no money.
And when, you know, and at a time when you're running for elections and you're saying you're going to do this and you're going to build the new world's tallest, you know, ball of twine or whatever it is that people are focused on in those moments, you eschew some of the... My dad used to call it knitting.
Yeah.
You know, when you're going to make a quilt, you got to do a lot of knitting, and it's not fun. And if you neglect that knitting, you're not going to have a quilt at the end of the day.
There you go.
Wow. I like that.
All right. Well,
everybody's got to have a quilt.
Watch out for those sinkholes that are really just cave-ins.
That's right.
Yeah. Watch out
exactly
for the...
Right.
Our hydrologist taught us all about that here, John.
We ought to get old Rex Sinkhole on here to talk about this stuff.
He's John Hancock. Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Markscores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. John Hancock, Michael Kelly, Amy Markscores with you on a Friday. Well, guys, we are approaching 100 days for the Trump administration, the heralded first 100 days. A lot of things to talk about, a grab bag that we could choose from. But let's start with one of the more recent incidents with Russia launching one of its deadliest strikes on Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, and Trump finally, I guess, expressing some displeasure with his Truth Social post, Vladimir Stop, saying that it wasn't a good time to strike Kyiv. He shouldn't have done it. I felt like the Vladimir Stop had a very Surrender Dorothy vibe to it. Just unserious. What do you make of it, John?
Well, nothing that the United States is doing right now is going to bring about an end to that conflict. And, you know, I think Putin has been emboldened by the American retreat, and therefore you see attacks on Kyiv. Ukraine's never going to agree to recognize Crimea as part of Russian territory. That's part of the U.S. deal that's on the table. And, you know, Ukraine is going to continue to fight and defend their country until there's some overwhelming force. There's some evidence that China now has weighed in on the side of Russia, sending troops into this battle. We know North Korea has as well. And, you know, I think America ignores this at our own peril. And I think the escalation in the broader European theater is a distinct possibility right now.
But are they really ignoring it? It seems to me we've switched sides in the fight. We've said, you know, the president surrendered most of the chips prior to the negotiation, in the sense that, you know, he was saying it was all Zelensky's fault, etc. The bad actors, the strongmen, if you will, seem to be all uniting behind Vladimir Putin, including our president. And even if he comes to an agreement, John, I wonder, how does Europe respond to that? Is this the separation where they say, hey, that's maybe what he thinks, but we're still with Zelensky and we're doing this?
Well, I think Europe is with Zelensky, and I think they'll continue to be with Zelensky. They'll continue to supply military hardware. And I don't see this thing ending anytime soon, and I don't see it ending well when it does end.
You know, it's interesting because this social media post, Vladimir Stop, saying it's not good timing, soldiers are dying, we need a peace deal, was the closest thing we've come to any type of criticism of Putin from Trump or the Trump administration. And we have to step back and realize, you know, Vladimir Putin is a war criminal.
Yeah.
When you look at the tactics he uses when Russian soldiers invaded Ukraine, they use Soviet-style tactics where war crimes like mass rape and torture are features, not a bug. Those are features of Soviet-style tactics, which Vladimir Putin, former KGB agent, likes. He uses those tactics. We talked with Major Garrett about double-tap strikes, where you hit a building, you hit a civilian target, and then you wait for all the first responders to come.
And then you hit it
and
again.
And then you hit again.
Yep.
This is what he did in Kyiv. And that was what Donald Trump said was an accident after that initial strike. He said, well, you know, I don't think, was it last week that this happened?
Yep.
And Donald Trump said, well, it's an accident. That's not even what the Kremlin was saying. And if there's any type of strike that's not an accident, it's a double tap strike. So how do we reconcile this Kremlin propaganda language coming out of Trump's mouth when he ran back in November on, I could end this thing in 24 hours?
Well, it's not unique to Donald Trump. Look throughout the administration and look at some of the rhetoric that's coming out of the administration. And yeah, it does mirror Kremlin talking points. I don't know how we got here. Vladimir Putin is one of the most evil people on the planet. And he uses his military aggressively. He kills dissidents in his country, pushes them out windows, kills them in prison, blows up airplanes. I mean, this is a singularly evil leader in the world right now.
And unfortunately, I'm the Democrat on this panel, but I think that's what Donald Trump likes about him. I think he likes the fact that he's a strong man. I think he likes the fact that when Vladimir Putin, you know, says things and implements stuff, that it gets done and people snap to attention. And if you hear the way that Marco Rubio and many other people in this administration are talking, it's not about the American policy. It's about what Donald Trump wants and our leader, Donald Trump. And I think Donald Trump is taken by these strongmen.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he has an affinity for the strongmen. And I know people use the phrase fascists and dictators. And the thing is, I don't think that's how Donald Trump views it. You can definitely draw parallels. I agree with Jonah Goldberg over at the Dispatch, who said it's really a mob boss. He likes the idea of kind of like, I know, guy, you, if you're good with me, I'll make things go okay for you, but don't cross me. It's that mob boss mentality, which is probably more along Trump's line of thinking than actually fascistic tendencies like Mussolini. He's not studying fascism and dictators.
No.
But the reason why he likes them is he likes the way they throw their weight around and come across as the big man on campus.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think there's a lot of truth to that. And when you're in the real estate business in New York City, then, you know, some of those attributes are probably helpful in the business context.
So let's move over to the trade war and the tariffs. And the tariffs that are paused, the tariffs that are carved out. Do you think, John, that we'll continue to see Donald Trump back down a bit or at least lighten up with the tariffs as the economy continues its trajectory of turmoil?
You know, I'm a little bit more optimistic now than I was a week or two ago. And because I can see a path now where there's been so much dislocation in the market and in the economy, that I can see a path where we put things back to where they were, and Donald Trump can claim that as a victory. Because what's needed here is a pathway for the president to be able to claim that he's done something and created something and succeeded at something and it's better. And the best way to do that is to remove the tariffs, and I maybe we're on a path to doing something like that, but I think a lot of damage has been done internationally in terms of America's credibility and being able to trust us. But I no longer believe that this is inevitable, that things are going to blow up. I think we can get back to where we once were with low or minimal tariffs. And the president can say, I did this.
So we had an exercise in jerkology, just where we, you know, jerk the economy up, down, move around, you know, go make everybody mad, put it all back together, literally back to the starting point of day one, and you get to say that you fixed things?
Yeah. I mean, he needs to be able to claim success and victory.
There ain't nothing like starting a fire and putting it out yourself.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's, again, going back to the classic movie While You Were Sleeping with Bill Pullman and Sandra Bullock,
right.
There's a man in that movie John. And he's the handsome guy in a suit, right? Great with the ladies. And everybody loves him. Everybody loves him. Yes. And the thing is, one reason why they love him is when he was a kid, there was a squirrel nest that had fallen out of the tree, and he saved the baby squirrels, and he restored the nests. And
Gotta love that.
He got
saving
an award
the
for
there.
Saving the squirrels. And it's not until the end of the movie that you realize this guy, first, he took a rock and threw it at the baby squirrels and knocked them out of the tree, and then he saved them. And that's kind of how I look at this with the economy right now. You can't, if the tariffs are the rock and the squirrels are the economy, he took a rock, he threw it at the baby squirrels, they fell down, and now he's trying to save it. And I think to John's point...
And he left us all nuts! I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut your point.
But to John's point, I think in order to back off on the tariffs without looking like he's backing down, he needs an out. I kind of think, and this is shifting to the chaos at the with the Secretary of Defense... Pete Hegseth, the only way that Pete Hegseth is asked to remove or steps down is if Trump has an out, because he fought hard for Pete Hegseth.
Yep.
And now there's chaos. We had several members of Pete Hegseth's circle being fired. His chief of staff was just let go or stepped down. I think he was let go. And so you start to see the pieces breaking around him. But I feel like Trump is going to need an out,
but,
so it doesn't look like he messed up.
But
with
he
Pete
better
Hegseth.
Get on it. Because inevitably, the Secretary of Defense and issues will arise. Some major world conflict will arise, and Pete Hegseth will disappoint him. The president's out on a limb now because the evidence has been there that this man's not prepared. He's not ready. There's been criticism from even inside of the Republican Party that Pete Hegseth needs to go. They continue to stand by him. They are jeopardizing something major happening and having to own it. Now he won't, but.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see any resignation or firing by any of these officials unless and until they're critical of the president, and then they're gone. And I don't think Pete Hegseth is ever going to fall into that camp.
Yeah. All right, before we wrap up and we move on to baseball, because we got a lot of baseball discussion with John Hancock, what annoys us about the game that we love? We want to make it clear, we love baseball.
People who don't cheer.
What are the little things? But before we move on to that, as we go into break, I would love to get Michael and John your thoughts respectively on the summary of the first 100 days.
I think President Trump has delivered on a lot of what his base had hoped for in terms of disruption. Now you can get down to the micro focus. Yeah, he's not stopped the war. He's not brought down the prices. But the thing that I think was appealing to most of the voters of Donald Trump, they wanted to see disruption. They wanted to see this system blown up. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find, I'm not the historian here, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find another president who's had 100 days of this much disruption, which is exactly what he had hoped to accomplish.
I'd give him good marks on the border, and I'd give him mixed results on the spending DOGE. And I'd give him a failing grade on managing the economy.
He's John Hancock. That's Michael Kelly. I'm Amy Mark Scores. We're continuing our conversation. What annoys you about baseball? We started that conversation yesterday with Matt Pajeski and Chris Ranji. John Hancock, a baseball aficionado, has some thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. You can text us or call at 314-436-7900. You can also leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Well, I don't like to think that Matt Pajeski is a whiner, that he's whiny. He's not. But he doesn't like the unequal, inconsistent dimensions of ballparks.
The beauty of the game.
Like, if a home run is a home run here, it should be a home run there.
That's right. The beauty of the game.
And so it got us into a conversation. What annoys you about baseball? Ranj was saying a lot of his annoyances were really fixed with some of the rule changes, like the pitch clock and the designated hitter, like not having the pitchers hit anymore. So he feels like a lot of his issues were resolved. John, you're a baseball guy. Do you have a list?
It's short.
Okay.
I'm opposed to socialism.
Are you talking about revenue sharing?
No.
Are you talking about a cap?
No. I'm talking about putting a runner at second base that didn't earn it and just awarding him an extra innings, second base, the so-called ghost runner.
Yeah,
it's socialism. Yeah, you score runs in baseball because you earn them, or the other team airs them in. You don't score runs because you get some free runner standing on second base in extra innings. It's wrong.
It's a handout.
It's a handout. Yeah. It's wrong. It's un-American, and it should be abolished. That's my
Michael.
That's my thought.
I disagree. I like the fact that we have resolutions to the games now and that they don't go on for 15, 16
you gotta
innings.
Earn it, buddy.
Wait, you don't like staying up till 3 a.m. on a random Tuesday in May?
No, and could you imagine being in a press box where you're up till that late and you can't even cheer when it ends? You just have to sit there with a stone face?
You should not have a ghost runner on second base. It's just, it's not
Are you going to call it like the Bernie Sanders rule?
It is. Well, it's socialism.
So, well, do you have a problem with them saying, okay, four balls go to first base?
I don't like that.
You don't like
you
that
You don't
either.
Like that?
No.
John's a traditionalist.
You got to throw the ball.
What do you feel
I've
about
seen,
the designated hitter?
I don't like it. I've seen home runs hit yep. during intentional walks before.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So,
I agree.
So, yeah, that's, you know, again.
I don't like the fact that you can't touch the ball with your mouth and all that other what? Stuff. You know what? Why not go
Why
ahead
do you want to?
Why
touch
not
the
let
ball
these guys
with your mouth?
Lick their fingers and spin the ball harder? I mean, what the heck? You know, if
okay.
they can have a torpedo bat, you know, a pitcher can't touch his mouth and then go to the ball.
So you want to
let them spit on the ball, let them put it in their hands.
You want them licking the balls out there?
If that's what it takes.
Well, you don't want to go to a game and see.
You no, know, no the guy who takes his fingers and he licks them and then he's able to spin the ball.
Well, you can do that.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
You cannot put your hand in your mouth and then go to pitch. You cannot do that.
Well,
I think you can.
I think you
no,
can.
No, you would be. You
Matt?
Would have. A,
I don't know. I mean,
are you guys? No. Now they let them do it. They'll let I them thought... touch their hand when it's cold.
Yeah.
But they don't want them using their hands to lick because then it makes it easier to spin the ball. I think they ought to be able to spin the ball. I mean, if
well, they do spin the ball. It's
no,
called
but
a
I mean,
ball.
Why not let them lick? It's but not I, like they're taking an emery board out there.
But doesn't
they're
their,
using their own mouth?
I thought their tongue would get like chalky.
Who cares? They're getting $20 million a year. I could put up with that. Chalky mouth.
17 in the case of Miles Michaelis.
Hey, Miles Michaelis, 6 innings, no hit the other day, and we
no
lost
runs.
That game or no runs.
Yeah.
We lost that game.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and his, we were talking about Donald Trump earlier. You know, his job approval numbers have gone down, but he is still more popular than the Cardinal bullpen. So so there's that.
All right, other things I don't like about baseball. I don't like the way I smell when I come home from a baseball game.
Because you
game.
Smell like a hot dog.
And, yeah, there's hot dog also, that peanut slash taco or nacho smell that seems to, you know, when you get home and
nacho,
you smell your clothes.
Nacho
like,
cheese does not age well.
No.
I will say one time.
I don't think it ages. I think it'll be the same stuff 20 years from now.
Yeah, it will. One time we got in the car after a ball game, and after a couple of minutes, we could smell like hot dogs and nachos really strongly, and we realized that the heated seats were on, so it was like cooking our clothes.
Oh, like all the
hot dog and nacho smell.
Bottle that up, sell it. I'll buy it.
Not good.
Yeah.
There's something
like
else I don't
smell.
Like.
Do you like the infield fly rule?
Oh, yeah. You got to have it. You know, otherwise you'd manipulate the. I mean, yeah,
that's,
you got to. You got to have.
Argument.
You got to have the infield fly rule. The other thing I don't like, which is ridiculous, is the 3 batter minimum. What is that?
Oh.
I mean, you're taking. You know, it's you've never had it before, and so you're injecting something brand new into the game.
But do you remember the games when Tony La Russa would bring a guy in, and he'd pitch to 1 batter?
Yeah.
And then he bring another guy in and pitch it up, maybe a half a batter.
You know what? You know what that's called.
And that whole inning took 45 minutes.
You know what that's called?
What?
Managing. And you're having a 3 batter minimum is you're taking the management out of the manager's hands. It's wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong.
So you like the long game. You have no problem with. Being
no,
there
I love
forever.
It. You got the people out
you
there.
Like
but
when the
do
guy
you go to bed?
Huh?
You go to bed?
Well, I just fall asleep right there in the chair. If the game's boring, I mean, you know, but usually it's not, so kind of stay up.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Some of my other gripes would be sometimes I've gone to the games with a buddy of mine, and he decides he's going to do play-by-play.
Oh, I've heard about this, this guy. Yeah. And it, the whole game, and people are turning around looking at you.
They love it.
Paid $100 absolutely to sit in the seat next to, you know.
Yeah.
It enhances their spectating immeasurably.
Sometimes I can get him to do it on snooker. When we play snooker, I can get him into a British accent where he'll be like, ooh, just off center there.
Where's the cue ball going?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. John, thank you for sitting in with us.
My pleasure.
I'm going to get you a press pass so you can go to the Blues game.
No cheering.
I'm not going to cheer.
Michael Kelly's going to hang in for the rest of the
show. Sit there and be grumpy with Amy. Take notes.
Yeah, bring your notebook. I know how to have a good time. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.